Solve, secure, protect. Look to Patel for the independent thinking and cross-disciplinary focus it takes to advance security and safety in a changing world. They provide their clients with integrated solutions that secure our nation and help solve challenges within infrastructure, environment, emerging threats, and deployable mission-ready technology. Their teams leverage their deep expertise to develop science and technology for a healthier, safer, and more sustainable world. Visit Battelle.org to learn how Battelle makes the impossible possible. Welcome to From the Crow's Nest, a podcast on electromagnetic spectrum operations, or EMSO. I'm your host, Ken Miller, Director of Advocacy and Outreach for the Association of Old Crows. Thanks for listening. All right, we are here on the third and final day of AOC 2021, brought to you by the Association of Old Crows, our 58th annual International Symposium and Convention. I'd like to thank today's sponsors for the episodes that will be coming out today, Anritsu. Anritsu offers new ideas and technologies to go beyond conventional testing and add increased value and innovation. Their complete solutions are designed to meet your ever-changing market needs. Learn more at anritsu.com. Anritsu, beyond testing, beyond limits. All right, my guest this morning on our third and final Morning Brew episode for you is none other than Glenn Carlson, call sign Powder. He is AOC president, today marks the start of your second year as AOC president. So welcome to From the Crow's Nest here.
Ken, thank you. Hard to believe it's already now going to be the start of my second year as the president of the AOC. Unbelievable.
You made it through 1 year, and hopefully the second one is equally as productive. And now, of course, we're kicking it off in person, whereas we've kicked off your first year virtually. So this is a completely different experience probably coming at us here.
Yeah. It's been an interesting and challenging year. Doing things virtually. However, we did have some in-person events, chapter events, Dixie Crow down at Robins Air Force Base. We had SEMA in Aberdeen. And then even last month, I was fortunate enough and honored to be able to attend AOC Europe in Liverpool. So things have begun to open up. Getting here today, or for this week, has been outstanding. The crowd has been engaged, exhibitors, sponsors, attendees. It's been wonderful.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about get your thoughts on what you've heard today. Obviously, we have one more day to go, but the two preceding days just packed full of good presentations, sessions. We had a number of speakers here on the podcast. What are some of the highlights from the discussions this week that you had that you'd like to kind of reiterate for the listeners here?
There's been a bunch, but I think some of the big things is speeding up, not just acquisition and processes, but being able to speed up execution to be able to bring capabilities to bear. The other thing is that we know we're a community, and within that community, we need to continue the teamwork and growing those relationships and partnerships, and industry within industry, outside of industry. Working with DOD, working with academia, and working to shrink down that acquisition time so that when we bring a capability, it's not 10, 15, 20 years old at that point.
I know when you look at the schedule and you see all the sessions that we're covering, you kind of see the depth and breadth of what EMSO actually is. And then you come in person and you see all the people and from DOD, government, civilian, industry, warfighters, the number of communities that are represented here, but we have to engage on a regular basis, is just exponentially larger than even the issues that we can cover here during the week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, you have the standard, or what I would call the standard, you know, companies that build a lot of the systems and are like our major sponsors and our host, L3Harris and BAE, and then with BAE Systems and others. It's just, you also have the smaller companies that are actually providing an awful lot of the assets to the larger defense contractors and companies, and bringing in some other players that operate in the spectrum, but not in that typical defense side that we're so used to dealing with.
And the complexity of that market and that mix between the component suppliers up to the system and all the way up to the system houses, how the market operates on an international scale is represented here. And you walk away with a bit of energy from, okay, we've had this opportunity to engage people, but now you realize that you have a lot more to do coming out of this than you felt like you had coming into it. And it's daunting, but it's fun.
It's also a lot of fun, because being able then to mix, you know, get people to meet and begin that networking and beginning to build the community and grow the community even further is unique. One of the key points that I was interested in yesterday with Dr. Fletcher was the shared spectrum idea. It's an interesting concept. I will admit I'm probably a skeptic, with having been in dealing with a spectrum over the past 35 years and knowing how it's partitioned out. I like the idea. Be anxious to see how it's executed, and so that we can get to where more commercial, civilian, and military work together and can do spectrum sharing.
Well, when you see where we have to go as a community, in terms of the pace that technology has taken, the importance of the EMS to everything we do from a military perspective, it hinges on superiority in the EMS. We see it, we understand it, but how we move the organizations, the leaders, the agencies, the companies, on down to even just the individuals, how we move everybody into that vision is difficult. I mean, I think there's some steps that came that were present here this week, but there's a lot more steps that need to be taken for us to be able to say, okay, we've arrived, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, with, you know, just the superiority strategy that was been discussed, as well as, you know, I like dollars, usage of Legos and things like that, and trying to simplify some of the discussions about the spectrum, yet knowing how complex it is, and then dealing with the bureaucracy of a large organization that doesn't move real well. I'll equate it to maybe looking at, you know, the Titanic. I know when I was stationed at Langley Air Force Base, we went down to the Maritime Museum in Norfolk, and there was a simulator for the Titanic, and could you avoid the iceberg? Because the standard was you just either try to reverse or everything full forward and turn. And I was actually able to miss the iceberg by keeping the starboard or right engine full forward, the port or left engine full aft, left the center one alone, and just threw the wheel. And actually the ship did miss. So, but it's got to take that creative thought and get out of our standard lanes that we have.
And two of the things that I had the pleasure of taking part in yesterday, the first was, you know, we had young engineers from Pax River up here. And I got to interview a few of them, and we're going to release an episode with them here after the convention. And one of the points that they drove home was, I asked them a question like, what do they offer our community, you know, as young engineers starting out their career? And all of them were, you know, reaffirmed that they offer creativity. They can think outside the box. They understand that sometimes we have to take the blinders off and become unfamiliar with the way that we do things and not be afraid of that. And they offered that as one of their strengths. And I think that that's something that we have to encourage a lot more throughout our community. The other thing was I did the fireside chat with Michelle Flournoy, mm-hmm. and she mentioned, you know, those three areas that we really have to focus on in obviously technology development. We heard a lot about that with Heidi Hsu, and as well as Dr. Fletcher, but then also international partnerships, and then STEM and bringing those young people into this community. So a lot of really good stuff, and I think a lot of momentum, and we'll hopefully be able to carry that on.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, going to unfamiliar, and I would say for old heads like myself, being uncomfortable and us admitting, but that's okay. it's okay. It's not a bad thing.
No. So 2 days, not today, is the third day. So we have, and it's just as full as the other 2 days. So we start off with the opening keynote speaker, Lieutenant General Clinton Highnote. And then we have two final breakout sessions, one on 5G and the other on building the future all-domain force, to kind of wrap and put a bow on the discussion. And then we also close with Terry Mitchell, who is the principal cyber advisor with the Secretary of the Army. So what do you expect to hear today that builds on what we've already heard, but maybe provides a fresh perspective to take us out of the convention here?
I think one of the things we're going to hear is, I think, and I haven't heard a lot of it yesterday, since the first 2 days, but I'm expecting it from either General Highnote or Dr. Mitchell, that we'll hear about more on maybe digital engineering, model-based engineering. That's been a focus point for the Department of Defense. And that's one of those tools that folks seem to think will help accelerate our acquisition and being able to do digital modeling. And I know personally that there are companies are doing their best to embrace it, but it's being focused more on new programs. The existing legacy programs are still in where they are, but I think we've got to demonstrate how that can work in the new ones before we can push in others. But I think you're going to continue to also hear that international theme, the teamwork, the community piece. How are we going to work together across all those domains and within the military, commercial, civilian outside with 5G. Those are still learning areas that we've still got to figure out today. And, 5G's here, 6G's coming around the corner.
Yeah. So we started off the our conversation here, mentioning is your second year coming up here. So as president of AOC, You have the microphone. What message do you have to our global community? Because obviously, we have actually a good fair share of international presence here, given the circumstances. But there's a lot of people that still couldn't make it. So this is what is your message for the community here? Kind of the state of the union moving forward of EMSO for AOC.
Engage, outreach. We've been engaged. Now we need to even further that engagement, get more involvement, especially from the young crows. We've got outreach programs that are there. I'll mention our mentorship that we've kicked off, the Future Crow Career Builder. Those things, those pieces of outreach and engagement with the future are key to the AOC's success, and they're key message that I keep trying to put forward, and that is, I think, key to us. And one of the other big programs that we've rolled out, even here at the symposium, is rolling out the certification program. That's in its infancy, but it's based on engineering processes and groupings of folks. So Chuck based it on ENCOSI. We've looked at some of the things IEEE does. We know that there's PMP certifications, but the certification of having that certification of an EW level 1, 2, or 3.
And that's going to be important because, to engage an association like the AOC, people want to advance their profession and build that professional development. So that certification is going to be an important piece that, we've been looking to really get off the ground for a little bit because, again, we go through the depth and breadth of our area, a community, it's hard to really kind of put into a certification program. We finally have that coming out, and I think that'll be interesting to see that grow over the next few years.
Yeah, I'm excited about it because I think, with our young crows, future crows, I see it with young engineers, they want to be involved, included. They want a sense of ownership and a sense of belonging. And I think this can help give them that and give them a sense that this defense electronic industry or electronic industry as a whole is a good place to be.
Well, thank you, Powder, for wrapping up our convention with me this morning. I appreciate it. It's the third day, and we both have large cups of coffee here. I really appreciate you taking time, and I'll let you, go to the main stage here and kick off the third day. So, but thank you for coming on from the Crow's Nest this morning.
My pleasure. It's been an honor to be here. Thanks, Ken.
All right, my next guest here on Morning Brew on From the Crow's Nest is Mr. Sadashi Fadness. He is the product marketing manager from Enritsu, the sponsor for all of today's episodes. Mr. Fadness, thank you for joining me on From the Crow's Nest.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about Enritsu on this podcast.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on here. And we were just talking a little bit before we started out here, and first time here at the AOC Symposium. Welcome. It's great to have you. And I think that's one of the fun things about the podcast, as well as just the show, is getting to see everybody here all in one place, but getting to see, we have a lot of new companies here on the show floor. You're one of them, and I really do appreciate you coming on with me this morning. So can you tell us a little bit about Enritsu? And you're located out in Morgan Hills, California. Tell us a little bit about your company out there, and a little bit about what products you have here and you're showcasing here on the floor here at AOC 2021.
Yeah, sure. So Enritsu is actually a well-known brand in test and measurement instruments. It has been, it was founded in 1931. So we have been in the market for almost 90 years now. And we have been making very reliable instruments that our major customers are distributed across most of the segments, defense, telecom. But we are well known in telecom, particularly instrumentation for telecom. Our handheld products are very well known in the market, in that particular market segment. But we also make general purpose instruments, like spectrum analyzers, network analyzers, and power sensors, and of course signal generators, right? Very, very high-end, high-performance equipment.
And one of the themes that we're hearing a lot about, obviously, with the convention is the complexity of the spectrum, the operating environment. And we've heard from numerous speakers how we need to make sure that we do test our equipment and have that infrastructure in place where we can make sure that the capabilities that we have, the systems that we have, can operate the way that we think they operate. And so your market sector, the test and measurement, is critical for electromagnetic spectrum operations and your product specifically.
Yes, correct. I mean, in terms of testing the electronic warfare equipment and so on, the general purpose instruments are key to testing the subsystems of those equipment, right? And in terms of that, we recently introduced a new signal generator into the market, which has a great performance in phase noise, output power, all those critical things that are needed to test the subsystems of, for example, radar or a frequency agile, transceiver, transmitter receiver, which are really the key hardware components in the spectrum control and command.
Can you build on that for the listeners? How is signal generation and spectrum, how does that help ensure that the system operates effectively when we need it? Could you build on that a little bit?
Yes. I can take a couple of examples of that, right? So for example, radar is one of the critical, most ubiquitous hardware in terms of spectrum control and command, right? And for radar, testing some of the radar subsystems, you need a signal generator with very pure signal output, very low phase noise, very low spurious and harmonics and so on, right? So this rubidium signal generator that we have introduced recently is really establishes a new milestone in all those performance areas, And for example, and I can give you a good instance of that. For example, in radar systems, when you you're looking for a reflected signal, which is pretty low, goes through attenuation, and it's pretty low in amplitude. You don't want that to be drowned inside within the phase noise of the signal generator that you're using to test it, right? So from that point of view, the lower the phase noise, the lower is that return signal that you can detect. That's how it's, I mean, basically that's how critical that is, right?
Now, yeah. I hear a lot of new terms throughout the week and products that I haven't heard before. And rubidium, the rubidium component of this product. Could you tell us a little bit more about why that is so important? It's a key piece of your product line, but I've never heard of the element.
Yes. So what rubidium is actually an atomic standard. It's a frequency reference. Now, usually the signal generators out in the market, if you want better stability and better frequency accuracy, they usually use an OCXO. It's a crystal oscillator, and the stability of that depends on the mechanical properties of the crystal oscillator. Whereas rubidium is an atomic oscillator, right? And its stability depends on atomic properties of rubidium element that's used within that oscillator, right? So it's a lot more stabler, and it drifts very, very less with time, right, which is called the aging rate typically. And so a rubidium's reference is like an order of magnitude better stability than an OCXO. So that's the other critical piece that our signal generator provides. If you want a highly stable frequency reference in the field, right, then that's the way to go.
And certainly, when we're looking at threats and the pace of radar technology and low observable technology and so forth, getting that stability in the signal is critical to really making sure that the system is
absolutely. So the thing is that this particular reference, rubidium reference, is independent, meaning if you are out in the field, you don't have to connect to a satellite, because GPS is another way to get a better frequency stability. But rubidium, with rubidium, you don't have to connect to a satellite, which is not always available in the field, right? Especially if, during the operations, right?
And then that might be taken away. And
yes,
so you need
exactly,
to have, you
yes.
need to be agile enough to adapt, and this is an opportunity to do that.
Yes, correct. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the feature. That's the great feature in this instrument. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Well, so wanted to ask you a little bit about, we have a range of companies out here on the show floor. We have the large system houses, we have the small businesses, we have component manufacturers, microelectronics. Could you talk a little bit about just your and Ritsu's place in the market and what trends you're seeing in this kind of uncertain times as the market's kind of recovering from COVID? We're getting back into normal business, but what are some of the trends you're seeing, and what is Ritsu doing to really position yourselves to lead in moving forward?
Yes. So I think we see two or three very strong trends. One is there is a general movement towards using higher and higher frequencies, millimeter wave bands. And what that is basically driven from the requirement that you need higher and higher bandwidths, data rates, and so on. So in general, we have been supporting frequencies in excess of 70 gigahertz, 110 gigahertz, even up to 220 gigahertz. So that is one of the trends that we are closely following and supporting in our instruments, right? And the second, so one of the best kept industry secrets, I would say, is we also manufacture our own connectors and components, right? And those are critical elements, especially when you go to higher frequencies. You need to keep your frequency response the same, output power. You need to keep all those signal integrity measures, intact when that signal comes out of the instrument. And recently we have introduced a coaxial W1 connector component line, which goes all the way up to 110 gigahertz. You don't have to use a waveguide, which tend to be bandwidth limited, whereas a coaxial is a broadband from DC to 110 gigahertz. So we are positioning ourselves as millimeter wave leaders because of this technology trend.
And that is where things are going, because it's what's interesting is I had a discussion here with another community group, and they were talking about millimeter wave. And one of the things you see this generally is as we're learning more about millimeter wave and the technical specifications that are required to operate in that, we're learning a lot that the way that we do things now is we're not quite equipped to actually perform the way we want to in millimeter wave. So it's interesting that this is where you're positioning yourself to be ready for us to really invest in that area.
Yes, correct. And the second trend we see is that in terms of, let's say, transmitters and receivers, the signals are getting digitized closer and closer to the antenna. Right, so you receive the signal or a signal from the antenna, and then you digitize. Then all the intelligence is sitting behind that, right? Once you have captured that spectrum, once you have digitized, then you can do all kinds of DSP techniques, and behind that you can the artificial intelligence piece of it, right? So for all these things, the critical piece is really the digital conversion portion, right? Which is the ADCs and the DACs. And they are moving towards higher and higher sampling rates because of this millimeter wave trend. And you have to support higher bandwidths, right? And again, in order to... And those are the building blocks, really, of ADC, of let's say, agile transmitters and receivers. You know, having a very pure signal source to test them is absolutely critical, right, for those ADCs and DACs, right? Unless you have that building block, you know, performing as you want it to be, then all the intelligence that's sitting behind you is not that useful, right? It's the basic stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And Anritsu makes these instruments to test this kind of basic stuff, yeah.
And so you're in a position where you're constantly trying to keep pace, and you have to kind of look 5-10 years in it where technology is going, and you're basically already there, which is
right,
very interesting.
Right.
So that's excellent. So,
yeah.
So thank you for that's all the time that we have for this episode. I do want to thank you for coming on From the Crow's Nest. I want to thank Anritsu for sponsoring all of today's episodes. We have some great episodes coming up. Yet this morning, I'm sitting down with Lieutenant General Clinton Highnote in a little bit. I'm talking to Brian Clark from the Hudson Institute on 5G, 6G, which is getting right into where you were talking about with as we start to look into millimeter wave. A lot of that, as we move higher into the spectrum, is going to be a factor in how we approach 5G and 6G moving forward. So we have some great episodes coming forward, and I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All right, well, that is all the time we have for this third and final episode of Morning Brew here at AOC 2021, the AOC International Symposium and Convention. Again, I want to thank Anritsu for sponsoring all of today's episodes. Anritsu, beyond testing, beyond limits for sustainable future together. You can learn more about Anritsu at anritsu.com. Thanks for listening. This podcast is brought to you by Battelle, the world's largest independent, not-for-profit, applied science and technology organization. Since 1929, their mission has been to translate scientific discovery and technology advances to benefit society. Through markets such as health, environment, infrastructure, industry, and national security, Battelle has been delivering cutting-edge solutions that impact the well-being of the world and help keep us safe at home. To learn more, go to battelle.org/connect. That's BATTELLE.org/connect.